Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, July 10th. I'm Ray Graff. Dr. Ron Scharf joins us today. It's Pets and Vets. He is here to answer your questions. Always a popular show. If you have a question about doggy or kitty in your life, give us a call. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. Don't make the email too long. A couple paragraphs, all the details we need. And then WAMC is the place, voxpop@wamc.org. You can email there or call us, 800-348-2551. The one, the only, Dr. Ron Scharf. And your pet calls coming up right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's another edition of Pets and Vets today, and here to take your calls is Dr. Ron Scharf, a 1985 grad of the Veterinary College at Cornell. Dr. Scharf has been practicing for many years now. He's a member and former president of the Capital District Veterinary Medical Society. You got a question about your dog? Perhaps your cat? The number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You best to call early. Does get crowded here on the Pets and Vets Show. 800-348-2551 or email voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org is the email, and the number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Ron Scharf, welcome back, sir.
Thank you so much, Ray. It's always a pleasure to come into your studio and be on this show.
Now, you just came in a couple minutes ago. Any signs of tornadoes? We have a tornado watch up around.
No, there's a major tornado watch as of a couple hours ago. And it goes till 9 p.m., I think.
Yeah.
And it includes Albany County, Schenectady County, and a lot of counties around here.
Are you auditioning for the meteorologist job here at WAMC?
Well, if you got a slot, I'd look at it.
Well, I guess. And then you could also fix all the pets while you're here. Good job. Well, good. We'll keep you posted if there are any weather updates to be had. Meantime, let's start out with a couple of emails here. This is from Adam in Fort Edward. I have an almost four-year-old male cat. He's an outdoor cat who does not like much human contact. He recently came home and ate timidly and drank timidly and started coughing. This was not a furball cough, but more wet and strained. He seems to have lost a fair amount of weight in a short period of time. I know he needs to get to the vet. However, I was just looking to get some insight in the meantime. Thank you, and that is from Adam in Fort Edward.
So, Adam, that could be a whole host of things. It could be an injury, although where that cough comes, I don't know. It could be that he was exposed to some infectious disease. That could definitely account for the cough. There are many things out there, viruses and other things that could cause cats to cough. I would want to know whether or not the guy is protected against feline leukemia. Which is a big deal, and it's out there. It's not rampant, but it's out there.
Yeah.
Also, feline immunodeficiency virus, which is kind of like HIV in people, is out there, and that does a number on your immune system, so you can't fight stuff off that other cats can fight off. So, I would just look around, see if there's any evidence of any blood or any evidence of any scabs or anything, just to rule out the possibility of an injury. We call them HBCs, hit by cars. If it's in the chest, blunt trauma to the chest can cause coughing too. Those are my two top things I would think about is infectious or traumatic.
I don't know if you know the answer to this one, but given that there is avian flu out there, if you have an outdoor cat and it tackles and takes care of a bird, is it possible for that cat to get avian flu?
So, I can't rule out that possibility. I've not heard of any cats getting it. I think I might have heard of a very small number of dogs. The big thing is cattle, you know.
Yeah.
If cattle get it, it could be economically disastrous, as well as, you know, health-wise.
Well.
And kind of jump over to people. So,
All right. So, now we're on a different show, and yeah. Let's, we'll have a virologist on in a month or two, and we'll talk about that. But let's not worry about that today, Dr. Okay. Scharf. This is from Dennis. Good luck with this. I don't know if there is even a question here. Subject heading, Percy. Why do I love Percy so much? He's about 14 pounds, a malt-a-poo, and just utterly lovable. Is it just me? I don't think so, because I noticed yesterday that people on the street are so much more friendly when he is with me. And is this a question better addressed in therapy? And that's from Dennis.
Well, people love dogs, and a lot of times out in public, people go gaga over a dog, especially a Maltipoo. Sounds like a pretty cute dog.
What does
dog.
A Maltipoo look like? Sounds like a cereal.
That's a combination of a Maltese and a poodle.
Ah, really?
So it's curly.
Okay.
Could be white, doesn't have to be. But they can look awfully cute. Right. And a lot of people just, they go head over heels of seeing a cute dog. And, you know, back in my younger days, I knew that having a dog was a chick magnet.
Oh, okay? I see. So. Oh, I see. Now we get to the point. Why don't we just go to the phones before you dig a hole for yourself? Let's go to Mary in Amsterdam. Mary, you're on.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello, you're on.
Hi. Hi. I have just a quick question. My 14-year-old cat, male, neutered, he developed lymphoma, and he has a huge lump on his right shoulder area, and it sort of has flattened and spread out, but I noticed on each side of his neck, he's developing more lumps. He's still eating, and he's still drinking, but I wonder how long is reasonable to wait to have him put down.
That's a big question, Mary, and it is a very difficult question. And a lot of people say you'll know when the time comes, and I don't find that to always be the case.
Hmm.
So I think that the eating, the fact that we're eating is very important. Once they stop eating, that's bad. And given that he's got inoperable tumor and lymphoma, and he's 14 years old, if he lost his appetite, that would be a big factor in the direction of maybe it's time, his time. But if their quality of life is good enough, now by that I mean not just eating, but wanting or enjoying attention from you. So if they're starting to withdraw from life and they're just hiding in the closet all the time, well, that means that they're possibly miserable. And that's a factor to take account of. So I think that it's kind of like a benefit-risk ratio kind of thing. Like, are their good days outnumbering their bad days? Mm. If their bad days are outnumbering their good days, if they're not interested in getting attention, if they're withdrawing, if they're starting to flag on their appetite, that's the time that I would start thinking about doing that last, what I consider to be the last gift you can give your pet, because you could remove their misery. But it doesn't sound to me like he's there. He's eating. I would want to know whether or not
he's being petted and he purrs.
Oh, he likes it. Oh, I don't think it's time personally, but it's a personal question, Mary. It's everyone's different, and everyone, many people are more prone to say that, oh, they don't want him to be at all miserable and, you know, kind of pull the plug, I think, sometimes too soon. Because, you know, if I'm a little miserable, I don't necessarily want the plug to be pulled immediately.
Oh, so, okay. That's also another show.
Yeah.
All right, Mary.
Well, anyway, okay, well, thank you very much.
Good
I
luck,
appreciate
Mary.
It.
Thanks
sure
for the call. 800-348-2551 is our phone number. 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. And let's grab one more before the first break, and we'll go to Meredith in Hancock. Meredith, you're on.
Hi, this is Meredith. You said that already.
Yes.
And I love your shows.
Thanks.
I have three dogs. Two of them are grown. They eat Purina Pro Plan adult food. And I have this 1-year-old Bernese Mountain Dog, and she's very much of a puppy, and she's eating Purina Pro Plan large breed puppy food. And when can I stop that or wean her off of it and give her adult food?
So that's a very good question, Meredith. generally, these giant-sized dogs or large dogs take a little longer to get out of puppyhood. And that's why, you know, a lot of veterinarians, it used to be the case back in the day that everyone got neutered or spayed at 6 months of age. And now on the big breeds, we're waiting longer because things still have to develop. And if you, now it's a bit of a different issue, but it's, you know, addressing the age, we're still developing our bones, okay? Our bones are not totally formed. So the puppy food, I think, would be good for another few months. However, there are foods, Meredith, that if you look at the label, it'll say that this food's found to be complete and balanced for, it could be growth for a puppy or it could be maintenance, which is for an adult, but it could say all stages. And if it's all stages, then you couldn't go wrong being on that.
Okay. All right, so read the label, basically.
Read the label, and I would go a few more months with the puppy food if that Proplan large breed puppy, you know, you could also call the company, see what they recommend. They do a lot of research, Purina, about best ways to do it.
You think they'll answer the phone?
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
I never thought of
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, they got an 800 number.
All right, good luck with that, Mary.
Okay.
Let us know how you did.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure, we got to take a break,
even
but
if
go
she's
ahead.
All right. She, even if she's a runt, because she's not very big, but and she hasn't seemed to grow, but that doesn't really matter, right? She has the DNA of a Bernese Mountain Dog, so I should treat her like that.
Yes, I don't know what this. I don't know how small she is, but she's got all the DNA.
Well, she's 70 pounds. She's not.
Yeesh. 70
right.
pounds.
That's a little small for a burner.
How big do they get?
They're very sweet. They're very nice.
Oh, I don't
They get over 100, the males.
Yeah.
Get
big. Good luck paying that pet food bill, Meredith. All right, listen, we got to take a break here. 800-348-2551. 100-pound dog? Oh, my heavens. All right, let's take a break. Jeff Beck, Beck Spolero here on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. That's the number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. So that dog, the Burmese, whatever. Bernice is her name?
Oh, no. The dog is a Bernese Mountain Dog.
Oh, Bernese.
Yes.
I see. So, I mean, you know, 180 pounds, you said?
No, not for a Bernese. Oh. No. I was just talking about you were impressed that dog could be over 100 pounds.
Oh,
I see.
There's
dogs that get up to 180, not a Bernard.
Like a St. Bernard or something like that.
Yeah, St. Bernard, a Mastiff, you know, those kinds of dogs, they get big. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. This is from Alice. My 13-and-a-half-year-old Cocker Spaniel is starting to pee in the house a lot. She's been deaf for almost a year, and her cataracts have advanced to where she can't see much at all. I've already removed all the carpets. Any suggestions? Do doggy litter boxes work? And how would I train her to use one? Good luck. That's from Alice. What do you think, Doc?
So we have a 13-year-old Cocker Spaniel female who is deaf and urinating in the house.
And obviously having some eye problems, too, because the cataracts are advanced.
Got it. Okay. So the first thing is to rule out that there could be a urinary tract infection, and that's just a simple urinalysis. The next thing would be to rule out a metabolic or hormonal problem so that these older animals can get, say, a kidney problem, and then they're going to be drinking more, and then they're going to be peeing more. And if they're peeing more, they might not be able to wait until the customary time to be taken out next. So those things could be found on a blood chemistry and a complete blood count, whether or not it's got the kidney problem or some of the hormonal problems. It's a little old to be getting diabetes at 13 years of age, but that's an example of a hormonal problem. Cushing's disease is kind of similar in its symptoms to diabetes, but you can get the Cushing's later, and that is an increased thirst and an increased urination. So those are the two main things to rule out is urinary tract infection and hormonal or kidney problems. And you know, 13 is older. It's not ancient for a cocker, but the fact that she's deaf and has and she's got cataracts, I'd wonder, could she be older than you even think she is?
Roberto Duran of dogs,
and
10
then,
years older.
If they're older, then could they be getting senile? And could if you rule out the other stuff, the infection, the hormonal, the kidney, then I would start wondering about could they be getting senile and just not care anymore.
All right, let's go back to our phones. Dr. Ron Scharf is our guest. Pets and Vets today, 800-348-2551 is the number. Let's go to Lauren in Del Mar. Hello, Lauren.
Hi, this is Lauren.
You're on.
Oh, awesome. I have a question about getting my cat to use a new litter box. I have two cats, and I've owned cats for over 20 years, and I'm one of those crazy cat moms. And I recently bought a litter robot, which is a very expensive self-scooping machine that, you know, will save me from bending over and doing all their litter boxes all day. One of my cats adjusted to it immediately, and the other one refuses to use it. He is so scared of it that I left it unplugged for a week so it wouldn't make noise, and I, no matter what I do, I can't get him to use it.
Oy.
He even wound up in the emergency room. I thought he had a urinary blockage when I took the old standard box away. And they said, nope, there's nothing wrong with him. He's just holding his urine.
Wow.
And so $800 on the box and $3,000 at the e-vet and 2 days in the hospital and later, I don't know how to get him to use it, and I would love for him to, but I also don't want to stress him out. And I wondered if you might have advice.
Before doctor answers, I think I've seen the TV commercial for this thing. Is this something that it almost looks like a small stand-up dryer washer, and the cat gets inside, and then this thing?
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah,
it looks like a little spaceship.
It scares me, too. I just saw it on TV the other day. All right.
But it's silent. I promise you, it's silent. I have it in my bedroom so I can watch him. But he just and the funny thing is, when they sent him home from the emergency vet after 2 days of all kinds of tests for pancreatitis and ileus and everything, they sent him home on gabapentin, and he used it all night long. And once that wore off, never again.
Ah, so there's a clue, Dr. Scharf.
That is interesting. Well, it's not surprising, Lauren, that the cat would be afraid of it. They are a lot of cats suspicious of new things, especially newfangled stuff like what you're talking about. I personally don't have any personal experience using them, so I'm afraid that I don't have a lot of tips for you or any. But I would imagine that if you give the cat the option to have the old one and you have the new one, and time goes by and the cat sees the other cat using it, and then maybe they'll, you know, gingerly put a pot in there and test the water, so to speak, it would work. But cats are very stubborn, you know. If they don't like something, oftentimes you can't convince them otherwise. So good luck with that.
Hey, Lauren, is this the one that
it
has basically it has a top on it, and it's sort of like a cubby hole the cat goes in?
Yes.
Maybe the cat just
that
doesn't
exactly
like the confined spaces, maybe.
That could be.
That could be. That very well could be. And it's also like it's a lot higher up than his old litter box.
How old is the cat?
He has to walk up. He is 8 years old, and he's neutered, and he's used a box on the floor that's very private and enclosed, like in a furniture-looking thing, his whole life.
Ah, interesting. Well,
could he be expected to be doing a big step to get into the unit? I mean, if he has arthritis or something, it might be uncomfortable for him getting in.
Interesting.
He is. That's actually, I never thought of that. And he's a big boy. He's an orange cat, so he's larger than, you know, normal anyway, and he's 18 pounds. But they keep telling me he's not obese, that he's just a large cat, and
big boned.
He could lose a couple pounds. And do you think some steps would help?
I would try it. Absolutely.
She's a cat that big. Get an elevator for it.
An escalator.
Hey, Lauren,
this is
really interesting. You're the first person I have talked to who actually has one of these contraptions. Call again month.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'd like to know how it worked out for you. Thank you.
Good luck,
Lauren. I will. Thank you for the advice.
Sure
I appreciate
thing.
It.
800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Ron Scharf is our guest. It's Pets and Vets, and we'll go to Tarrytown. Doug, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a question about spaying my 7-month-old King Charles Spaniel female, and there seems to be differences of opinion about letting them go through one cycle as opposed to spaying them younger before they actually have their first cycle. And I would, curious about the health benefits, et cetera, you know, of those two points of view.
Yes. So, Doug, there's a lot of backstory to this. And up until about, I would say, 25 years ago, we recommended spaying all dogs at 6 months of age, because at that time, the only science that we had was that mammary cancer, which is the most common cancer in dogs, was much less likely to happen if you spay them before their first year. It was 1/7 the chances of the general population. And if you spay them before their second eat, it was only 1/3 of a sparing effect. And then, you know, after that, didn't make a difference. But since then, we've learned a whole lot about the potential downsides to spaying earlier, okay? But it turns out that those downsides are much more prevalent in your larger breed. So a Cavalier King Charles is not a large dog. So it may not necessarily be a problem doing it at 6 months of age. If you want to, you could wait until, you know, she's had her first heat. Because some people argue that it is good for them to be older before they get spayed. So I think the jury is still out, Doug. And I think that personally, I think that these arguments are all about statistics, and your dog is not a statistic. It's one dog that just because there might be a slight increase in the risk of X, Y, or Z disease or condition doesn't mean that your dog spayed at 6 months of age is going to get that. So I wouldn't worry too much about it at that with her size, you know, her size breed.
Okay, Doug.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks for the call. You. Appreciate it very much. Remember early in the show, Doc, there was a question about a Cocker Spaniel who pees a lot? Sherry just wrote in, there are doggy diapers available.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. The better thing is to find out what the underlying cause is.
Right.
And you could use the diaper while you're searching. But if you rule out those physical things that we talked about and the dog is senile, well, then, yeah, that's a very good thing for everybody to use them.
Let's go back to our phones. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. It's Pets and Vets today with Dr. Ron Scharf. Richard is in Rensselaer. Richard, you're on.
I got three outdoor cats that I've been feeding for about 10 months, and one of them is fairly well domesticated. But 2 weeks ago, he wasn't using his right foot, and yesterday I noticed a sore or ulcer on the outside of it, and I looked closer today, and he's got two more on the bottom of his foot. So I was wondering if there's anything I can put on him to help him heal.
Well, we don't know what's causing that sore, Richard. I mean, if it was just something that, you know, the pavement's pretty hot out there lately, and if it was just kind of like a burn, that's kind of thing that's going to heal by itself. If, on the other hand, the skin is raw, if it's, you know, exposed epithelium, you would want to keep it clean if you could. I mean, if you say that the cat's somewhat domesticated, you know, cleanse it, put some triple antibiotic ointment onto it.
Oh, okay.
Triple antibiotic ointment, like Neosporin.
Neosporin kind of thing.
Can you understand a word?
Really couldn't understand a word. All right. Well, Neosporin-ish stuff is what
triple
we're looking
antibiotic.
For.
Triple antibiotic.
Richard, if you're having trouble, you can always hear this show again online at WAMC.org. I'll have it posted about 3:15. So thanks very much. Now, let's go to someone who hopefully can hear us. Laurel in High Falls, you're on.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
So I have a 16-year-old female cat. We also, like the prior caller, crazy cat people. She has the beginning stages of renal failure and also hypothyroid. She's on medications for the thyroid disease, and our vet is very happy with her numbers. She just recently started urinating outside of the box, meaning on a bed and another soft item in our home. We took her to the vet. UTI was ruled out, no urinary tract infection. And we just can't figure out what or why, and wondered if you had any advice or thoughts. We did go to a pet store, and we got, I'm going to probably say this wrong, Ferrum spray, or we have Ferrum, like, atomizers in the house now.
Pheromone.
To try to see if we can, yeah, Ferrum. So just wonder if you had any advice on that.
So the pheromone is not a bad thing to do, Laurel, but that's usually when cats are stressed, and usually the most common situation is when it's a multiple cat household and the cat's not getting along with other cats, so it's going to start marking. I don't think that this is a marking problem because we have two great candidates for things that'll cause a cat to pee in the house, one of which is kidney disease and the other which is hyperthyroidism, because they both cause cats to drink a lot of water. When the cat's drinking a lot of water, they might think that litter box is not up to specs as far as, you know, cats are fastidious, and if it's too messy in there, they'll go elsewhere. So what you want to do is you want to clean that box way more often than you ever did when we were younger. When she was a youngster, and you want to sift it every day, and you want to change it at least once or twice a week, I would say. But if she drinks too much, then it means that either the kidney or the thyroid are not as under control as you might think. Okay, now, the thyroid situation, you can usually take care of that with the right kind of dose on medication, but the medication is potentially dangerous, so you have to be real careful about doing it. And I always like to make those changes with plenty of blood work beforehand and after to just make sure that the new higher dose, if that's what's needed, is not dangerous for the cat. If it's not the thyroid, if her thyroid level is exactly where you want it to be, well, then you got to think about the kidney situation is getting worse. And I would want to know, is she on a prescription food for cats who have kidneys that are running out of their ability to concentrate urine?
Right.
What food is she
on? So we were giving her the Kidney Care food, and it's unpalatable. I've tried all kinds of, you know, different flavors and different styles and everything else, and our vet said because of her age and her weight loss, she's also lost half a pound twice, so she's lost a pound and she's only 8 pounds now, and he said calories are more important than the Kidney Care food because she, you know, we just have to keep her weight up.
Yes, I don't disagree. I think that's true. When you get to 16 years of age and you're a cat, and so you're real picky about what foods you eat, it is more important to get some calories in there and then worry later about is there too much protein in that food, because that's what the prescription food for kidney disease, Laurel, is that it's giving just the right amount of protein for good health and no more so, because more protein means the kidneys have to work harder and they're already having trouble. So you don't want to present them with more of a workload than they absolutely have to have. But if she's not eating anything, I think that's what you need to do. Another option, if you really wanted to get involved, Laurel, there is the American College of Veterinary Nutritionists, and these are people that can formulate a diet for your cat. Your cat's not the only one with chronic kidney disease. It's like, I think probably more cats have it at that age than don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's that common, and they get plenty of inquiries about, what kind of food can I make that would be able to take care of my cat and be sparing for the workload on the kidneys at the same time? But first, I would rule out the thyroid, Laurel, because that would be easier to deal with. But if that is all thoroughly regulated, then I would start looking at the kidneys, and then I would look at the diet. And they might be able to, if you used human food and put together these correct ingredients with some supplements, some vitamin supplements, etc., that might be your best bet. But otherwise, she's 16 with kidney disease, and it might be out of reach. You know, it might be the kind of thing that you're not going to be able to catch up with.
All right, let's take a break here. Laurel, thanks for the call. Dr. Ron Scharf is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. Pets and Vets, we'll be back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. It's Pets and Vets today. Dr. Ron Scharf joins us. The number is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. And before we get back to the phones, oh my heavens, this is a long email. Okay, folks, let's try to keep them fairly succinct if we could. But I'll read this whole thing because Margaret seems very nice. This is from Margaret. I'm an old dog, a Lees, probably in the 14-year-old range, weighs 16 pounds. She is probably a Jack Russell mix at a rescue. We have had her for about 2.5 years and have no history other than she came from Texas. In that time, her hearing and vision have both decreased substantially, and our vet feels it's due to the normal aging process. She also has very bad arthritis in her hips and spine. Recently, she began pacing and circling endlessly. Today, she's been unable to settle at all. Up to this point, she would pace around the house and eventually settle in one of her beds or her crate and sleep for several hours and overnight. The pacing is usually in a counterclockwise direction, but occasionally she unwinds and goes clockwise. We saw our vet yesterday. She feels the pacing is either dementia or possibly a brain tumor or both, and that we should let Elise go. I'm not quite ready to make that decision, so the vet prescribed selegiline HCl 5 milligrams once a day. Elise also takes Loxicom oral suspension once a day and has been taking this on and off since we adopted her. I'm wondering if you think one dose of the selegiline HCl this morning could be causing her endless pacing today. Also, from your experience, do you think I am prolonging a miserable life for our sweet girl? Should I consider letting her go? I understand you have not examined her, but do you think the pacing is a significant sign that she's ready to go? Any thoughts or advice would be appreciated, and that's from Margaret. Don't ask me to repeat it because it's very long.
So, Margaret, it's a difficult situation. I can understand where the veterinarian's coming from. However, I don't know that it's time yet, because I don't necessarily hear anything that tells me that your Jack Russell is miserable. I'm wondering more about you with this pacing and were we also peeing in the house? Was that something?
Oh, let me double check here. I think that maybe this is the one call and email that does not include pee.
So arthritis could be very uncomfortable, obviously, but there's medications that could be used for that, Margaret. Number one, dementia versus brain tumor. Brain tumors are possible, but they're much less common than dementia. The dementia does cause pacing and can cause other behavioral changes that are disturbing more for the people watching it than for the animal experiencing it. They don't have this reflexive thinking like humans do, like, oh, my brain's not working right and I'm very anxious about it. I mean, sometimes they just be, you know, they just are. And I don't assume that it's miserable for your old 14-year-old, possibly more than that, year-old possible Jack Russell Terrier. The hearing loss and the vision, they do come with the territory when you get up in age as a dog. The only thing I would caution about is when a dog is older, and especially like a Jack Russell, they're pretty tough customers. They can be a little nippy if someone mistakenly steps on it because they're in this cocoon that they don't see, they don't hear. They're just lying there. And if a human is walking by and, you know, kind of misses the fact that there's a tail there, they could get upset about that and try to defend themselves. So I would just watch out, be careful that you're not, you know, that she's not in the traffic pattern of your household. And, you know, just be very careful. Even when you wake them up, you want to do it gently and that kind of thing if they happen to be falling asleep in the wrong place kind of thing. I would just respect that they are in this sensory deprivation chamber kind of existence. But if, like I said to the previous caller, if this dog is eating and if this dog enjoys getting attention, I don't necessarily think it's time.
All right, let's go back to our phones. Dr. Ron Scharf is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. Marion is in West Hurley. Hello, Marion.
Hey, Ray. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm okay.
All right.
So I'm calling about issues with the animals having urinary
incontinence.
Without the diaper.
Right.
So I had a 13-year-old Labrador mix, and when she started peeing on the floor, she got very upset because she didn't like peeing on the floor. So I gave her ladies' bed straw or cleavers, and that was used in mattresses. The people went out west. The women put that in their mattresses so it would calm them down as they're crossing the prairie. So they worked very well. I've used it on cats. People can use it. So it's
okay.
I get it in the health food store, and it works just fine.
What do you think,
and
Doc?
And also the cosmic reaction, like your dog sensing your distress. You know, it's a smell.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's an interesting point. What do you think, Dr. Scharf?
I am unfamiliar with the word cleavers, other than
meat cleavers
to beaver.
Oh,
but the straw, I would imagine that that's good as far as absorbing.
Ladies' bed straw.
Ladies' bed.
Okay, he's writing it down, Marianne. I think you're onto something.
There's another word too. There's another one. If you look it up in your flower book, you'll find it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that one.
I also have a Ukrainian herb book. The Indian, yeah.
Okay.
I forget her name, but Ukrainian.
Well, that's really fascinating. Hey, Marion, thank you very much. Let's go to Rob in Albany. Rob, you're on.
Hey, thank you for taking the call.
You bet.
I've got a rabbit. I don't know if anybody's called with a rabbit story.
You got a rabbit. Okay. Hey, can you come off speakerphone by any chance?
Yeah, hang on 1 second.
Okay. Zach, the engineer, will appreciate it very much. Okay. Is he off, Zach? I don't hear anything. Oh no. Did we lose him? Because everyone loves
him.
There we go. All right, man, go.
Yeah, okay. I recently increased his roaming space in my room. All of a sudden, he doesn't want to use the litter box to save his life.
Wait, rabbits use litter boxes?
Oh, yeah. He's really good. He had no problems. Now that I've given him more space, he's like, screw the litter box. I'm going to go wherever I want to go now.
Wow. Amazing. Well, what do you know about rabbits, Dr. Scharf?
I'm afraid not much.
No?
But I would wonder about, can you, Rob, diminish the space back to where it was when we were using our litter box?
I think I may have to do that.
I would do that because it solves the problem, then we're talking about a behavioral thing. We're not talking about a physical thing. So I would just start that right off the bat. And Yeah.
Yeah, not too many people know much about rabbits. It's hard to find vets.
Well, am I allowed to say where I work?
You can say where you work. Why? Yeah.
There is a lot of exotic pets and pocket pets go to Village Animal Clinic in Voorheesville, and they know an awful lot about not only rabbits, but a lot of
lizards and weird stuff.
Lizards,
yeah.
Reptiles, hedgehogs, sugar gliders.
I'm sorry. What's a sugar glider? Please help me
small.
Out.
It's really? Small.
Okay. Yes. Listen, Rob, let me ask you, while I have you here, a question about rabbits.
Right.
Why would you want to have one as a pet? But I'm going to leave that one alone. Years ago, before we were married, my wife had a rabbit. And I got to tell you, thing was not that bright. And it ate all the cords for the lamps and stuff in her apartment. What's the attraction with the rabbit?
That's shocking.
He doesn't chew the cords. He doesn't chew the woodwork. And I guess I'm lucky. He will crawl up I'll pick him up and he'll nestle right up into my arm
wow.
and sit there for like 20, 25 minutes, which most rabbits won't do.
That's amazing. All right, Rob. Well, listen, good luck with that. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Alex in Kerhonkson. Alex, you're on with Dr. Ron Sharp.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
So I have a 5-year-old Bengal cat, and I'm bringing home an 8-week-old Vizsla puppy at the end of the month. And I have a small home that doesn't have a lot of barriers to protect my cat from the new puppy. And I'm trying to think of the best way to introduce them. I don't have any of the puppy scent yet and was just hoping for any suggestions.
So you already know that it would be good when you get the scent, you know, take one of your sweatshirts and when you visit the puppy and, you know, put it on the puppy and then bring that sweatshirt home for your cat to smell and kind of get used to. And then when you bring that puppy in, I recommend that you have a leash on the puppy
mm-hmm.
so that the puppy can't go wild, as puppies do, mm-hmm. Seeing another animal, because this puppy's going to have no clue about what a cat is. They'll jump around. They'll want to make friends. They'll want to play and play fight, etc. And that's what's going to freak a lot of cats out. So the leash with, you know, holding that leash close to the collar so that we don't have a long, you know, we don't have 6 feet of leash for the puppy to be able to jump around a lot. I would hold it, you know, just a foot or two away from where it's attached to the collar. And then, you know, allow the cat to come out and, you know, just check out the situation. You don't want the cat to feel pressured into dealing with this new, you know, major household change sooner than they have to be. So, you know, there's going to be stuff that the cat's going to have to deal with that it'll just have to decide, is it okay? But you could lessen the amount of exposure and control over that exposure so that the cat's not feeling set upon and kind of like scared that this unpredictable little beautiful Vizsla puppy is, you know, jumping around and running and chasing stuff and that kind of thing. Just make it as gentle for the cat as possible. But bring the scent home first. That would be good.
Okay, and I've also read that some people suggest multiple weeks for an introduction of a cat behind a door and the dog on the other side. Is that something that you would also suggest trying to do? It would mean we'd have to keep the cat in the bathroom, which I think for a long period of time with all of her, you know, necessary box and food and water would still be pretty hard.
Yeah, if it means confining the cat to a bathroom, that in itself is a stress. That could be more than the stress that the cat would deal with having to, you know, live with this new puppy.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't think that I don't think that is worth doing that, Alex.
All right.
I would just try to give the cat her alone time, you know, time that she does not have to deal with this puppy, you know, so that maybe the puppy should be, you know, not isolated, but separated from the cat so that the cat has a few hours a day where she could roam around the house or go to her food bowl or whatever, her litter box. And so she doesn't have to feel all the time beset upon with this puppy running rampant around the place.
All right, Alex, thanks a lot. Let's go to Old Chatham and Robin. You're on. Robin.
Hi.
Hi.
Uh-oh. 16 cats, it was...
Start again, Robin. You're in a bad spot there.
Yeah, I'm in a bad spot. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. We
you
hear
had a
you now.
You had a 16-year-old cat that was incontinent, not using the box.
Yes.
Just an idea that they get arthritic. Maybe
yes.
It's painful for her to get in and out of the box. And
yes.
Our clinic had a lot of success with laser treatments and arthritic cats.
Yes, I think laser could be helpful.
What will laser do, Doc?
But well, I would wonder about if there is arthritis going on, that there are things that could be used for arthritis. We were talking about the arthritis as a possible impediment to the 8-year-old cat not wanting to use the robo the robo litter box.
Yeah.
But this, I'm losing track.
Oh, it's not the cause for the incontinence. It's just makes it harder.
Yeah, makes it harder to get in. Yeah, well,
I think it could be hard. You're right. The 16-year-old, but we had chronic kidney. We had kidney failure, and Robin,
oh, he's got lots of reasons not to use a box.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of reasons not to try the new Robo one.
The arthritis definitely is a possibility.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
Okay, Robin, thank you. You know, you take a lot of notes, Dr. Sharp.
I do.
You have pages of notes there for
this
show.
I'll never be able to remember all these things. This gives me something to check back on.
Maybe you ought to publish a little book with all your notes from over the years. All right, this is an email that came in. We only have a couple of minutes here from Spacey. I have an 8-year-old, very hairy Shiloh Shepherd, 85 pounds. She's allergic to everything under the sun. She is on homemade food, diet of ground turkey, brown rice, and peas. She is also on the highest dose of Apoquil, and she always has gunk in her eyes. She still has dry skin and loves to lick her paws. What kind of supplement can I put her in her food that may help her heightened allergies? 2 minutes.
Well, she's already... Okay, no problem. She's already on the hypoallergenic food. I assume that turkey, rice, and peas was arrived at by someone that knows veterinary nutrition and allergies.
Yeah.
The highest dose of Apoquil, well, that's too bad because that is a really helpful drug for most animals. There is another one.
What is Apoquil?
It's a it's an injectable. I'm sorry. It's a pill. It's an oral medication for dogs with allergies that is specific to dogs.
Antihistamine?
No, it's way more than that.
Interesting.
It targets the cascade of events that happen with an allergic response to an allergen.
Huh.
Okay. But there's another one called Cytopoint, which is an injectable, and that is given and is good for a month. So the first thing, Spacey, is I would think about trying the Cytopoint either instead of or in addition to the Apoquil. The gunk in the eyes, that could be just from the allergies cause an itch to be anywhere. And if the itch is on the face and the animal rubs at the face, it could cause a secondary irritation to the eyes. And the licking the skin, that's not necessarily because of dry skin, Spacey. It's because allergies cause itching. And the itch could be anywhere. It could be anywhere on the skin, on the paws, the ears. A lot of dogs come in these days in the last 2 months with ear infections because a lot of allergic dogs get itchy ears. And then they scratch at those ears. They shake their head a lot.
Oh.
And they get the secondary ear infections.
Interesting.
So the last thing that I would think about doing, Spacey, is looking into immunotherapy. That's basically what you call allergy shots. So they take the things that the dog is allergic that are in the air, and they make a serum out of it, and you give injections, which are easy to do. They're not that hard at all. And you got to do it for at least a year or two, but you're going to have a better than 50% success rate. I've heard it's even as much as 80%.
Wow.
So immunotherapy, Spacey, assuming that this 8-year-old Shiloh Shepherd has also allergies to stuff in the air.
Hey, Ron Scharf, Dr. Ron Scharf, splendid job, sir. Thanks for being here, and stay away from the tornadoes on the way out.
Always a pleasure. Oh, yeah.
Support.
I don't want to get swept up.
No, absolutely not. Alacrity Frame Workshop, Lark Street, Albany, offering custom framing on local art in the Capital Region, Monday through Saturday, 10 to 7, Sunday, noon to 5, 518-915-1956. Also, Albany County Farmers Market, featuring local farm products, prepared foods, and handmade goods every Sunday, 10 to 2, outside the MVP Arena. AlbanyCountyFarmersMarket.com. And the Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, protecting Bolton. No, he missed a line. Semi-professional broadcaster. I'll start again. And the Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, protecting the forests, wetlands, shorelines, and ridges that protect Lake George permanently. Projects, events, and news at lglc.org. All right, that's it. Dr. Ron Scharf, beautiful job. Thanks to everybody who called in. Thanks to Zach. Thanks to Andrea Leon, who screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, this is exciting stuff. The gardeners are back. Grab a shovel. We'll see you too.